I've realized that there's so much overlap on that side of it, like knowing yourself, knowing what you're good at, staying within your game to present yourself, and then, you know, trusting the people you put around you. Like my grandfather was a really good entrepreneur. He had a bunch of brick and mortar, you know, athletic companies growing up in the Northeast. And he would always tell me, Elliot, know what your liabilities are, know enough to be dangerous, but put people around you that are better than you at those specific things, right?
Today, I am joined by a new friend, Elliot Mark. Elliot stems out of Long Island. We were just talking about this, how many people are, I'm being connected with on Long Island, on Strong Island, but now stems out of and lives in L.A. He is a former collegiate athlete and now the founder and CEO of Recruit Fluency, which is helping gear athletes for their next chapter and at the collegiate level, specifically soccer players. Elliot, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to connect with you.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. You know what was so cool, and what I'm finding is while I'm doing these podcasts, I'm reaching out to people that really embody the message of Cool Down Conversations with that, which is people that have taken the vehicle of sport and created their next chapter. And I reached out to Elliot because I saw what he was doing at Recruit Fluency. And within seconds, he messaged me back and said, hey, let's do this. I want to get the word out. So I can't thank you enough for being open and helping, a starter in this next chapter of mine, you know, as a podcaster. So I do appreciate that, brother.
Of course, of course. You could only keep it by giving it away. You know what I mean? So it's important that we help each other out for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so let's just jump right into it. Obviously, we started with the podcast, said that you're from Long Island and you made your way out to LA. So give us a little brief background of where you started and where you're at now.
Sure, yeah. So never wanted to be in LA. I don't know if I want to be in LA right now, but I'm here for the moment. And and I'm doing everything I can do to make it a positive experience and grow a business. I'm engaged. I'm getting married this summer. You know, so there's a million things on the plate. What brought me out here was getting sober, and it's a huge part of my personal story, my path, and that is the one reason that my fiance and I have stuck around is because there's a really solid community out here of people who are really supportive. So that's why we're sticking around for now. But I grew up in sports. You want me to talk about that a little bit and just tell you about my journey?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right.
Sure. I know, like, you stem from Long Island, and I know soccer was huge. I know we actually shared a couple of the same coaches. You know, before every call for our listeners, we always do a pre-call just to kind of get to know one another. And we both found out that we were from New York, and Elliot started to rattle off some names of some coaches, and we definitely crossed paths with some, you know, some of the same coaches, which was such a small world. The football world is so small, which is crazy. So, you know, I think that's a lesson you're probably teaching your athletes is like, don't be stupid online because someone's gonna know someone that knows you, you know. And but that's a whole other, you know, maybe part for a later segment. But but the truth is, we rub shoulders with similar coaches. So go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I was really fortunate, like super fortunate. I mean, the head of the Red Bulls Academy, formerly is Bobby Montgomery. His daughter was one of my, like, good girlfriends growing up. He lived around the block from me, right? So he was one of my first coaches. He was at Adelphi University at the time. And then I just, like, through being on a decent club team and that was really going places, we won 5 State Cup championships out of New York, which at that time was a big deal, right? The academy system wasn't set up. So Kevin Anderson, Gary Book, like head coach at Columbia, head coach at Adelphi now, the athletic director, just was able to be educated on such a level of understanding the game from a different perspective, right? And so many kids just don't have that opportunity to understand, not just like, oh, you know, technically you want to be sound and solid, but like, tactically, like, what side of the player are you stepping around to, right? You know, making sure you're putting yourself on that blade of grass that is where you need to be on the field. And I was given that information from, you know, 10, 11 years old and up. So just really fortunate, right? And like you said, you know, you being a really quality player seems even, you know, higher level than I was, obviously, because I never played professionally. You had those same opportunities. So it's just really cool. And from that just stemmed an opportunity to play in college. And I used my athleticism, I used sport and soccer to get into a really good academic school. And I went to Lehigh University, where I was super successful. Started as a freshman, was a two-year captain by the end of my career. Just unfortunately, injury-ridden, which is, you know, the piece that I spoke about is how I... Mm-hmm. How I, you know, fell into an addictive mindset and really struggled for a while. But Lehigh was great. It was such an incredible opportunity, and that's what I try to pass on to student athletes today. Is, you know, leverage your situation, your athleticism, to get into a school that's going to provide you opportunity. You know, in the business world, I've actually had, you know, student athletes in high school that are like, you know, I'm not really looking to play at the next level. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sort of like iffy about it. And the one thing I bring up is that the amount of alumni from just Lehigh University that I have networked with, that I have had opportunities from, and even my good buddies I grew up playing on those teams with, like, it's a community. It's a fraternity of people who got your back just because you have that affiliation. There's a huge gentleman from Lehigh who I'm meeting with tomorrow. He owns a huge company called he's gonna kill me. It's a big company, Game Plan. Thank you. I'm meeting with him tomorrow just because I'm from Lehigh, right? Like no other thing. I hooked him up. I was like, yo, on LinkedIn. I was like, what's up, my man? I'm from Lehigh. I was a captain. I'm trying to do something similar. He's like, yo, let's do it. Nice. You know, stuff like that is really huge. And even something along these lines, right? Where mm-hmm. we're connecting and just getting people together and cultivating a community that is going to be able to help people moving forward. So after there, I didn't play college. I didn't play professionally, I'm sorry. So I went right into coaching, and I got an opportunity through another soccer guy that I played with growing up at FAU. And I was the assistant coach, head of recruitment there for just over 4 years. And what an incredible experience, right? Overseas recruitment, understanding everything about the system here, you know, ways to go about it properly. And now looking back on it, you know, from that experience, I'm able to pass this knowledge on to student athletes about the approach, the sales and marketing component to it, right? That it, you really have to be in that mindset, that go-getter mindset. Create a player profile and you let it sit there, know what's coming to you, right? So, you know, stop spending thousands of dollars on player profiles, but just like little things like that. So using those experiences to help others has been really my passion and my mission through Recruit Fluency.
Wow. So what a story. So now I know that there was a serious injury in your back that kind of led you to moving towards the West Coast where you're at now. Do you want to walk us through that?
Sure. So I had, I think, fifth metatarsal in my mm-hmm. foot, screw in there at regionals when I was going into my sophomore year. So I redshirted. From there, I had a bunch of other injuries, screw in my hand. God, I can't even remember them all, right? With my back, there was no specific, like, you know, knock injury. It was just the amount of fitness, the amount of mileage on my body year after year completely annihilated my L5 S1. And I had basically, you know, I was bone on bone. So I had a lot of microdiscectomies. I had two microdiscectomies. ectomies until finally I was just like, all right, we got to take care of this. And I came out and I went to a surgeon in Los Angeles. He was head of the spine center in Santa Monica Spine Center, California. He saved my life, like literally struggling with addiction. After living a healthy lifestyle my entire life, right? Falling into like just this deep, deep, crazy scenario. And we did a fusion, the most, you know, sort of dangerous surgery, the most risky. Knock on wood, I have not felt pain in the last 3 years. And wow. It just changes your mindset. It changes your approach on life. It changes how you wake up every day, right? Wow. That's that injury that did me in.
Yeah. And now, you know, you're 3 years sober, which is such a huge milestone for you to celebrate. So kudos to you, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm sure that you'd be an open book if, you know, if anyone was listening and they wanted to reach out to maybe have some support, you'd be someone to speak to. So if that is you, certainly reach out to Elliot Mark and at Recruit Fluency. He'll be sure to talk to you.
1,000%.
Sorry. So now you're in LA, and what I heard in that story was, you know, your experience of not only being an athlete, living it as a collegiate athlete, and then also working as a coach in at the collegiate level. You saw what you learned about the recruitment process, and you saw the need that needed to be filled. So walk us through how Recruit Fluency became what it is today.
Yeah, so we're still really, really new. Startup company. Mm-hmm. You know, before I went in to creating this company, I stepped back and I spoke to all of my mentors, some of the people that you and I just spoke about, right? And I said, you know, I wanted to really understand, like, what was needed from their perspective, not just mine. And everyone, you know, spoke about education. There's no education. Parents have no idea what the hell is going on. Wow. And it creates an opportunity for agencies like NCSA, Be Recruited, some like these juggernauts in the business, right? To have sales pitches that are just monetizing fear, like straight up. You know, if you don't go with us, you know, your son or daughter's not going to have an opportunity. Oh, okay. How much does it cost? Oh, $3,000. Like, what? I went through the process for free, right? Like, I was extremely lucky. I had some of these resources, right? Gary Book, who was at St. John's when they won the national championship, was my club coach. But what did he do? He taught me. He educated me, my family, on the process. So I took a step back and I said, all right, how am I going to accomplish this? And we had just hit the pandemic. I just got laid off from my former career, which was in sales with a big company out of Belgium, still related to sports. And I went from, you know, a very good salary to $0. So I had to do something somewhat quickly. And during the pandemic, a lot of the online learning had been a trend because people were home, people had time. Mm-hmm. They weren't in the office. So I said, why not create a video course that literally acts as a consultant and walks every student athlete and their parent through the recruitment process. And then if they have questions, you know, doing office hours online once a month, twice, whatever is needed, and help them in that capacity, right? So that's exactly what I did. And I took this knowledge. I got a professional crew, camera people. I hired an actress to do the video, because at that time I wasn't comfortable on camera. And we have over 25 videos that break down how to select a group of target schools, how to communicate with colleges, how coaches evaluate the student athlete, how to thoroughly break down your schools that you're going on official visits and unofficial visits to. What does the application process look like? What are the grants? What are the loans? How do I pay for this shit, right? Excuse my language, but it's a huge part of it. So we created a master course, and then I said to myself, all right, well, now we have the education. How do we figure out target schools? And we created a partnership with a company that has some resources, a platform, and now it's white labeled. It's under my company, and we literally have our student athletes put in their credentials, or you know, their GPA. Where do they want to be? Religion is that's how far we go in depth, right? Of trying to figure out what is going to be the best fit academically, athletically, environmentally, and socially, because it's not just about the athletics. So once the student athlete does that, it auto-populates and it spits out schools, universities that are going to be the perfect fit for your son or your daughter. Then I remember, you know, having to communicate with these coaches, reflecting upon my scenario. I was at a decent Division I program as an assistant coach. We were decent, right? We weren't top level. We weren't UVA, but we beat Duke, right? We had some successes. I would literally get 200 emails a day from student athletes, and then I'd see parents online. You know, why didn't you get back to us? It's just not possible, right? So, what I did is I also had an experience where I called the head coach of Penn State and I hung up on him. Because I blacked out. I was so nervous, right? And wow. I know a lot of high school athletes are struggling. They're not calling coaches. So I created email scripts, phone scripts, so that they have a place to start, right? And maybe it'll help alleviate some of that fear. Because if you're not calling, if you're not hustling, they're not looking at your player profile, man. They're not, not once did I. And everyone else I speak to, it's just like a waste of time, a waste of money. You know, get educated on it and then do it yourself, because that's the best approach.
Wow. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking like where were you like 15 years ago? You know, like there was no roadmap for this at all. You know, and like you said, you could pay an agency to do it, but it was, you know, you couldn't afford to do that. So I'm just thinking back on my career and we didn't know, and we didn't even, highlight tape wasn't even like a big thing then. It was just kind of like people knew about you through word of mouth almost. And I'm making myself sound old. I went to college in 2010. So right. Like not that long ago, you know, it's like, but none of this existed, you know, so that's so amazing to see that. And I'm thinking for myself now in the professional game where there's player profiles like Transfer Market and stuff like that, which I hate. I hate them because two reasons. Some people only go based on Transfer Market, and I can't stand those people because those are like, to me, just like the FIFA players. They look at stats, they look at how fast you can run and where you've been. Right. And that drives me crazy because there's so much more that goes into the game, as you know.
Of course.
The second thing is that, you know, you create a profile, great. You know, someone sees your name, that's awesome, but they don't know you as a person. They don't get to speak with you and kind of get that rapport. So I'm feeling that it's very similar in regards to at the collegiate level too.
Yeah, it's one of these things, and that's what the agency takes away. First of all, you know, if you're looking to go to a Division I program, you know, that's not your avenue to, you know, do not use an agency. And that's not because I'm a competitor of them. It's because I genuinely believe it's not in your best interest as a student athlete. Right. And every D1 coach would tell you exactly that. The only reason why these agencies have stuck around is because they actually sell their information, the email addresses, to the coaching staff throughout the country for their summer camps, their ID camps, their clinics. And then they have, right, it's a business. You know, the coach has got to eat too. And and I don't fault coaches for doing that at all. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the things we speak about. And when I've done some of my live sessions, it's like, make sure you're going to the right ID camps. So how do you do that? You pick your target schools first, right? You make sure that you have a group of schools that you're going to attack. And then you go to those camps so that you know you're not wasting your time. How many people go to UConn, right? Especially back in the day, Ray Reed, he used to have like 2,000 kids at his camp. Maybe one went from that every 5 years, right? You know, so things like that are really important to the process. and it's taking away from what you said, the personal touch, right? And that's mm-hmm. what coaches need to know. Like, if I'm investing in you, if mm-hmm. I am going to put any money behind you, which is also rare, to be quite frank, you know, I'm going to need to know you. I'm going to need to know you on mm-hmm. a personal level. Yeah, do I care that you could, you know, defend well? And yes, but I also want to know that you're not going to be a pain in the ass, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm not going to have to worry about you when I'm on a road trip, that, you know, that you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock at night and you're not going out to the bar, right? But there's, and it's, mm-hmm. it's that kind of connection that is missing. And it seems that it's missing from, like you just said, the professional side of it as well. So maybe that's something we tackle together in the future.
No, trust me, I got a bone to pick with some freaking agents. I tell you, we don't have time for the stories. Like, I'm done right. with 99% of them. There's a couple good ones that I still talk to, and God bless them because they've helped me a lot. But
right.
boy, it's like there's a, you know, it's the world game. There's a lot of people, and that can really create a lot of, I don't know, subpar service, I guess you would say.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
You know, that's how businesses are created, right? Like we see like perfect example of Recruit Fluency. You saw a need of how to bridge that gap better, and that's what you're doing now. Let's talk about the need that you saw. So obviously you felt that disconnect as a coach when you got 200 emails a day, you know, from these guys and these players are going to these ID camps, which are, if we call them what they are, they're kind of like combines, you know,
yeah,
they're like
absolutely.
Money makers, you know, it's what it is. It is a business. Football is a business. So I think all our listeners are a lot of football players, soccer players. I want to say that again, football is a business. So there's going to be people that are going to need to make money. So, you know, just accept that for what it is and then move forward. But you know, now that you have kind of created this next chapter for yourself, Elliot, what is it that you're seeing in regards to feedback at Recruit Fluency? How are athletes finding it, the process and such?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we're very early on, so I'd be lying to you if I said we had this mass amount of data and everyone is blown out of the fucking water, right? It's not the case. But for the people who have gone through, the student athletes, the families, it's been incredible for them, right? Because I'm able to impart so much education and knowledge at the convenience of them, right? So they're waiting online at the grocery store. We have an application. They open up their phone. Every chapter that I created was between 2 and 5 minutes so that the ADD people out there like me, right, wouldn't have to, you know, watch some mundane, you know, History Channel creation. It was cinematic, it was engaging, and it was giving you all the information. And that's what parents have loved most. It's they can sit down at practice when all the other parents are chatting about BS and where my kid's going and how much money my kid got, and they're all lying to each other. They could go to the side and they could sit down and they could literally learn about the process and then apply it. And we also get into, from the very start, parents can't be parents throughout this process. And I saw Dave Mazur, the head coach of St. John's, at a tournament recently. And that's the number one. He's like, Elliot, you are not going to be able to get this off the ground because the parents are too freaking crazy. And I said, you know what, Dave? I hear you, but it's because they're not educated, right? A lot of them, their fears and insecurities about supporting their child would be quelled if they had this education. And that's exactly what I saw. So I'm calling out Dave Mazur right now. You know, he's a great guy, right? But it was great feedback for me. So, I went on a tangent. I don't remember what I was saying, but they enjoy it. they enjoy it. And that's what's up.
That's cool. And education is huge. And to be fair to the parents, like, how could they know? You know, like they what they, we weren't taught that. You know, so how could they know? All right, so in light of cool down conversations, how we highlight someone that was in athletics and still are, but use the vehicle and love to stay around the industry. As an athlete, how has that helped mold you to create the and put on the entrepreneur hat and create this next chapter as a startup?
I mean, everything's intertwined in life, right? Upon reflection, and I'm still somewhat young, a lot older every day, but, you know, there are like these core characteristics, I call them assets and liabilities, that we all have as individuals. And getting to the entrepreneurial space, you learn those super quick. If you don't know them, if you're not in like that growth mindset of I want to learn, I need to grow as an individual to accept some of the things I suck at. Like, you need to be able to take a step back and assess, just like we do it, you know, at the lower levels. We watch game tape. We assess, you know, should we have done better with this? Could I have, you know, used my opposite foot to play a ball into, you know, another side of the attacker, right? Whatever it is. I've realized that there's so much overlap on that side of it, like knowing yourself, knowing what you're good at, staying within your game to present yourself, and then, you know, trusting the people you put around you. Like, my grandfather was a really good entrepreneur. He had a bunch of brick and mortar, you know, athletic companies growing up in the Northeast, and he would always tell me, Elliot, know what your liabilities are, know enough to be dangerous, but put people around you that are better than you at those specific things, right? And that's where I'm finding myself right now in the business, is as I grow out my sales team, you know, there are things we need to look at and say, you know, I'm not a CEO type. I'm a visionary. I'm that type of person. You know, I'm not a financial person. Like, I know some of these things, and that's how, and I could only have learned that through a little bit of my recovery, right, with addiction, which was actually where I was able to be into a growth mindset, but also reflecting back upon myself as a player and learning, you know, from such incredible people. So I think that's a huge part of it. And then you have like your core values, right? Like grit, determination, motivation, like, I was telling you before we even got on, if you're not going a million miles an hour, if you are not grinding day in and day out, and you're taking a laissez-faire approach to creating something you're passionate about, you're not going to succeed. And sometimes I feel like I'm not going to succeed, and I'm doing all that, right? Because, you know, we're human. But at the end of the day, core values are huge, and you learn that in sport. You learn how to be relentless. You learn how to have that grit. And that's what you need to be able to rebound. So that's how it's played in, intertwined for me personally.
Yeah. Wow. What a perfect answer. I did a podcast, previously with, a girl that works, in the MLS, and she helps athletes with their transition, you know, from being an athlete in the MLS to potentially getting a job, and she does amazing work, really, really cool, very nice girl too. And one thing that they haven't quite tapped into was like the entrepreneurial road, and they're starting to do that soon. Cool. But I realized like it's very hard to make an athlete become like a clock in, clock out employee, and I call them CECOs, clock in, clock out, because in one sense, we love the kind of structure of like, okay, this is how I do this job and a team, stuff like that. But the other end is like, we need to be free to kind of attack it our way and take those core values, like you said, and kind of put it into our own thing. So that's why this podcast was birthed, to highlight how people have used those core values like that you just highlighted and then put it into practice. And I did another call with a tennis player, and I asked him the same question. And I asked him, I said, you know, how did your journey as a tennis player help you with, you know, building this next chapter? He said, it's hard. He said, like, building something is hard. And he said, I love the feeling of that challenge. He's like, I suck at it, but like, I love that I now have something to attack. And that's just the mentality we have. It's like, what, when we suck with our left foot, we don't just throw the towel in. Right. You know, maybe Luka Modric does that because he can have hit it with the outside of his foot so well. But we train a whole session with our left foot, and then we figure it out. And it's ugly and it's gross at first, but eventually it starts to pay us out. And then we start to realize with that consistency, you know, it brought us to this, you know, this next part of our journey. So yeah, you highlighted that question perfectly, man. Well done. I just went on a rant too, so we're even. 1-1.
It was a good rant.
Appreciate it. Okay. So with that said, you know, you spoke beautifully about a need being filled in the industry. Let's talk about, you know, and we touched on it a little bit, but you know, what was the trial that turned out to in your life that turned out to be a blessing in disguise? I know for me that what led to me in my executive coaching and this podcast, it was the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I was in Sweden, and I was meant to go play another season in Sweden, and the rug kind of got pulled out from underneath me, like it did for thousands of athletes. And it kind of caused me to reassess, you know, let the dust settle and then start again. What was that for you?
I mean, ultimately it was the same thing, in a different way. I was working for Soccer Lab. I was the head of sales for the United States. It was a career opportunity for me, right? An athlete management system that some of the best teams, PSG, like huge teams were using throughout the country, the LA Galaxy here in the States. And what it did is it centralized communication among the entire club, right? From the youth players to the trainers out there. So I was doing that, and then I got let go. And I was depressed. I did not know what I was going to do. And I'm sure you could identify with those emotions, right? I mean, I've been there too, not being able to go on to the next level, especially when you have the talent to be able to do it, right? So I get that. And I immediately went into like this study, learn, how can I gain information that's going to be, you know, relevant today? And I started learning during the pandemic a lot about digital marketing, right? I took a bunch of courses. I spent way too much money that I shouldn't have on education, right? Because you now had the ability to learn if you were passionate and would dedicate the time to doing it. And that was during the pandemic, and we had a whole lot of that. So that was definitely the opportunity, because I had 6 months, whatever, however long, miserable it was, like, it provided me the platform, almost in that sense of like, it provided me the vehicle, because the vehicle was time. I just had it. To apply it and learn it. So I learned about digital marketing. The company was built on one type of service-based platform. I switched that. There were so many like fails that where I could have just thrown in the towel and just been like, you know what? It's just not worth it. And I mean, I'm going through something so similar right now, where I'm up and running, and I still have to make tweaks to the backside because the customer journey isn't as seamless as I want it to be. And and that, you know, it was the pandemic. It gave me that time to be able to say, just reassess, right? And I think that's ultimately what you did. It's like, if I'm not going to go down path, you know, take the left side of the path, you know, what's on the right? And how can I make that fulfilling so that I'm doing something I'm passionate about every day and I'm waking up in a good mood, because I am not clocking in from 9 to 5. You just can't do it. And as brutal as this may be at times, and all the fails that you have as a business owner and a small business owner at that, it's worth every second of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing what we see as you know, resistance or see as an obstacle, but really it's molding us for, or just gently, not always gently, but pushing us towards, you know, what we should be doing or what we could be doing next. And we, it's hard to be open to that because we have an identity crisis and, you know, you had your dream job and I, you know, I love playing football and I still do, and I'm still pursuing it. But there is, it's okay to do both. Like, it's okay that it, yes, and is the kind of mentality, that growth mindset you're talking about is so important, because what if we can do both? And I'll plug another podcast I'm doing, is a lot of these players that we idolize, like the Neymars and the Messis and the LeBron James and whatever, is right. A lot of people aren't going to make it to that level. In regards to maybe financial success or fame or whatever. And there's 99% won't, but that 99% is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to plant the seeds along with your passion of pursuing professional soccer or pursuing at the next level. Right. And plant those seeds and go to a great school like Lehigh and learn from the community. And get around the alumni, because that will lead to your next chapter and then being open to that when it comes. And I think that, you know, you've done an amazing job in seeing that and also planting those seeds and kind of just leveraging those relationships as well.
Thank you so much. You know, it's interesting too, right? But like, take a look at LeBron James. You don't think that dude has 16 different companies as his side hustle right now? Right? You know, because at the end of the day, he's smart enough to realize that, you know, that's going to end, right? And if he's accustomed to living the lifestyle that he wants to live, you know, he's got to get involved with other stuff. And I think it would be foolhardy to think, as a student athlete, as a younger player, and that's why I'm so happy this is really what you're based around, right? Is like setting yourself up for success. What does that look like? And how can you do it in the space that you're passionate most about? So kudos to you for doing that, and I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I love supporting you in any way possible.
Appreciate that, brother. So I'm a collegiate athlete. I'm a young high school athlete, and I come to you and I'm like, dude, I don't even know where to start right now. Like, what could you say is the utmost importance in like getting going? Like, what's number one that someone needs to play at the collegiate level, or that, you know, you'll help them with?
Yeah. So for me specifically, and it's what I tell everyone, it's you need to get educated, right? And it's for the simple reason that if you don't want to spend thousands of dollars, if you want to go about it really the right way, which is the harder way, you need to educate yourself, right? And that doesn't start in 11th grade, guys. Like that, you know, I did an interview with Dean Koski at Lehigh, the head coach, and I asked him the same question, like, what are we talking about here? And parents should really start educating themselves in the 9th grade, when their kids are going into the 9th grade. Because then you have time to step back, not feel completely overwhelmed, not feel, you know, not have that fear that you can't support your kid. Start in the 9th grade. In the summer going into the 10th, into the 11th, you need to have your target schools picked out, you know, a general sense, so that you can get in front of those coaches. If you have 10, you know, target schools that you're looking at, some are safety, some are reach, some are legit targets, you know, that's going to take 2 summers for you to create relationships. You're not going to go to every single one that summer. Maybe some are going to be during the season. Maybe you're going to reach out to some of those coaches throughout your sophomore and junior year. But you're late to the game if you're starting even the summer going into your junior year. You're still behind because you don't know what to do. You're starting from the beginning. So what I tell every parent that calls me, no matter what, is get my masterclass. It's $150, right? Like, I wanted to democratize this industry so NCSA, all the bullshit, could understand that this is for real and we could give this information to anyone in the country. and I've even split it into four different payments, right? So pretty much anyone can, you know, anyone could afford that. They're going to get, you're going to have such an amazing understanding of the recruitment process. You're going to arm yourself so that even if you go and you decide you want to use one of these agencies or services, first, I'd recommend coming to me because I could help you in a different capacity. But if you're going to, at least know enough to be dangerous and call them on their BS, right? And and that was part of what I wanted to do as well, is like put these parents on notice, put these agencies on notice, right? That it's not going to be so easy for you anymore just to steal people's money. So education is number one, and do that as early as you can. As far as actionable steps, that's actionable, I guess, but, you know, how do you know your target schools when you're a little bit younger? It's like, if I'm a B student, you know, I'm not becoming an A plus student. Like, be realistic. Like understand who your son is, who your daughter is. Be honest. If you don't even know what division and you think your son or daughter is the best player besides like Messi out there, like most of us do by default, right? It's not, you know, it's love, it's compassion. Get an assessment from someone that you're not paying and say, hey, can you evaluate my son? Go to a college coach. Can you evaluate my son in this, you know, this 5-minute tape I put together? And what level should they be approaching? I can guarantee you most coaches would take the time to do that because it's not something they see every day. But let me be clear, if you're paying someone to assess or you're paying someone to do anything, there is 1000% like no point in thinking that you're going to get honest feedback, because there's something attached to it. So that would be my recommendation. Like, for first step is understand what division they should play or should be targeting, and then what type of academics they should be targeting as well. Academic
school. Wow. Okay. Huge. All right. Everyone to take a note of that one.
You like that? Because, it's good. Yeah.
No, seriously. Seriously. Yeah. Okay. So, Elliot, you've been, like I said, a great mold for what Cool Down Conversations is all about. Taking the sport as a vehicle and creating your next chapter. So what would you say excites you most for what you have coming next in Recruit Fluency, and also for, you know, in your personal life as well?
Yeah, personal life. You know, I'm getting married in August. We're doing it on a ranch in Colorado. It's going to be less than 50 people. It's going to, you know, just what I wanted. fell in love with. Just such an incredible person, right? We have similar pasts. We help each other every day, right? Some of her assets are my liabilities and vice versa. And I think that's huge for us. So I'm really excited to go down that path and that chapter with her. You know, it almost makes me emotional, but I refuse to cry on camera. So that's really important to me. And then... the other stuff for Recruit Fluency, I mean, like, we're talking to some really cool companies, because I've been connecting with so many people because I'm hustling, and there's just so much opportunity. Like, player profiles are not going to look like player profiles for much longer. Let me put it that way. There's going to be a way for those 200 emails to not be emails. And it's a click of a button, so you're no longer in purgatory as a student athlete. And the coach, and you're going to know where you're wanted and where you're not wanted, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something, it's been like my dream to provide this service. And I'm going to do it. And I'm just like anything else, I'm going to do it for a price that is everyone can afford, because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So that's like really interesting. And then like these email templates that I was telling you about earlier, like I'm speaking to a huge company that's like on the down low. It's called Craftly. And the goal is to integrate AI into our platform so that now you're not just using templates. You're putting in a couple of bullet points about you and the things writing it for you and, you know, your introduction email. So everyone's going to be different and just make the process a lot easier for you. You don't need to spend an hour into a night after practice, you know, making, you know, these emails to college coaches, you know, difficult. You know, we want to streamline that for you. We don't want to make it too easy because you need to do the work. And I think that's inherently part of who we are at our core at Recruit Fluency. Like, we're not giving you the easy way out. We're giving you the most efficient and effective way to approach the process. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. There's actually I listened to you speak about, you know, helping collegiate, helping athletes get to the next level at the college level in soccer.
Yeah.
And your vision is similar to your experience because you saw what it brought you through alumni, through meeting the right people, coaching jobs, and a good education, like a really good education from a good school. And I know that that's your goal as well. I also see the downside of college sports, college for soccer players specifically, if they want to play at the next level.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and I wanted to for people to hear that because I know that your goal is to get people in an amazing opportunity. How many people in the world can say that they got a scholarship to just a university? It doesn't have to be a top D1 school, but a university is, I mean, not many people can do that. So to use soccer as a vehicle is like the smartest thing that anybody can do. And that's so cool. But I did want to get your thoughts on, you know, the process to becoming pro in America is so broken because we've taken the NFL and college basketball and college football mold and we said, okay, do soccer like this. So go to a big D1 school and then get drafted. And it's like, it just doesn't work like that because it's such a world sport. Correct. And, you know, we're playing 12 months out of 4 years when people are playing every single day at the same age. So
twice a day.
I did want to, yeah, exactly. I wanted to just kind of get your opinion on that and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things, in the United States Youth Soccer Association. There's some great people, like incredible people, that really want to do the right thing, but they can't because it's all financed, you know, and it's all about money. So that's, I mean, I could go on a couple hour rant just about, from having the opportunities at Soccer Lab, from speaking to some of the national team staffing on different levels, like it's a broken system because they continue to let it be broken. There's a few people within those organizations that are trying to change it, and I'm not going to get political on you, but like in the Trump administration, like a lot of people would say like, okay, well, why didn't you leave? And I don't care what side you're on. It's irrelevant to me, but it's, and they would say, because I wanted to stay and I wanted to try to change and try to see if I could impact. Right. And there are people in United States youth soccer that are doing it for the right reasons, but finances get involved. And then that's ultimately what's brought it down. So I just want to say there's good people there, but it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It's a fight that should be fought, and I'll help fight it in any way possible, but it's not going to change. Because on top of money, there's arrogance and ego. And when there's those two things, and when people are not able to look at their shortcomings, they're not able to look at their liabilities from an objective viewpoint, there can't be change. It's a brick wall. What I will tell you is that it's got to happen from the youth level. And I think, you know, there's a Orlando City affiliate youth club where a friend of mine just got, I can't say his name yet because it's not public, but he's going to be implemented as the director there. And I'm helping him create both pathways. Like, what are the pathways for the player that doesn't want to go to college, that wants to try to play professionally, that knows that they can't go through the youth system, they can't go to college if they want to really pursue that. The exposure isn't there, whatever. And I think it's going to happen organically through the youth level, through the right people connecting in those, you know, in those places that, you know, he's in a spot where he can impact families and they'll listen to him. And I think that's where it's going to stem from. It's not going to come from our U.S. organization. I don't think it's going to. Definitely. So I don't know if I just went on a complete rant number two to beat you, but I think it's going to happen from the youth system in a different way than we're expecting. And I think technology might open it up a little bit, right? So one of the ideas I had 10 years ago was to stream different combines and get some of the best players and bring that right into, you know, the coaching staff at Liverpool or Man U's, you know, of younger players, right, to provide them access to that. And I think maybe through technology we could achieve that if the right people are making those key decision making, you know, in those positions. So,
I mean, they're there. The players are there. The players are there, and it's just
best athletes in the world.
Yeah,
we have the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, you know, and it's you know, and, but like I said, there's the percentages is just too small to through the college route for the next level for the
what do you think what level. Do you what do you from your experience overseas, let me flip the switch and interview you for a second. What do you see because it's important, right? Like, what do you see? How could it be different, and what would have made your path easier, less resistant?
So when I went to a small D2 school in Albany, yeah. St. Rose, I didn't know better. I got a little scholarship to play there, and right. I said, I liked the feeling of a D2 school because you were allowed more Europeans, you're allowed more internationals.
Yeah.
So I felt that the standard would be closer to the actual game, and it was. It was in the NE10, like a really good.
Some really solid teams there.
You know, some solid teams. So I enjoyed that side of it. I knew I wanted to play. You know, I was a late bloomer though, so like, come my junior year is when I really started to like fill out and then get into the rhythm of playing well, of my college career. So like, not junior in high school. So I was a late bloomer. So in one side of it, I'm happy that, you know, I went to college. But once I graduated, I booked a one way ticket straight to England. And
you have a passport.
I've got dual citizenship. Yeah, so I was able to do that. Not everyone is able to do that. Yeah. It used to be in the EU, which would made it so much better because I could go anywhere in Europe and live and work. But now I'm just, you know, I'm in England, so whatever. Right. Gotcha. But you know what I found is that immersion, without really knowing what I was doing, was so huge for me in my development, and I wish I hadn't done that younger. Because I knew for sure, if you know, with the right again, same thing like you said, you need a good team around you, you need the right people around you. I had that, you know. I support Liverpool, as you can see. And my father would take me over every year to watch them play, and every year we would kind of plant seeds in with our family, friends, and our family over there, say, hey, Paxton's gonna come here when he graduates, who do you know, where can he stay? And we kind of planted those seeds, so come, you know, once I graduated, I was able to stay with a family friend, and it kind of worked from there. Right. So the immersion was, to answer your question, the immersion of the culture is so paramount. And I just don't see the football culture translating into America strictly because of our own arrogance.
Yeah.
And we're trying to take the same approach that we take to all of our other sports and tell the whole world what the world sport, we got to do it our way.
Right.
And it stops. And one thing I'll finish on here is when I was in Sweden, I noticed that I wasn't making a lot of money. I was playing third division. So I did some coaching for the team. and for their youth, like real young, like 5-6 year olds, and it was hilarious. Me, English speaking 6 year old Swedish running around, but luckily the ball is bilingual, so that worked out. But what they started to create and implement at that age was like play. They had such an emphasis on play. Like, don't tell me anything about tactics. None of that play. And they created these little rings where the ball can't. You play outside, so it's not futsal, where the ball can't go out of play. So the ball is always in play constantly. It's kind of like a little ice hockey ring, you know. Yep. And they're just kind of getting and having fun with it and playing, and that's how they start over there. And I know that over here, the process is play, but the vision and the tracks to run on and out there. And like you said, there's great people that are trying to implement that have seen that and are doing it. But we could honestly add another hour to this podcast just talking about the what's wrong with. But hopefully, you know, with more awareness comes, you know, they say awareness is curative. So hopefully, like, the more we talk about this, the better it can be. And we have a World Cup coming up in this own country. That's going to create awareness around the sport, but it's not going to fix the problem, like you said, at the root level. And that's where we got to start.
Yeah. Soccer 5 is a company that's building those rings here in the States. Check them out. Okay. I partnered with them in a different way early on, but man, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Let's connect and just move forward, and I'll help you in any way that I can. And thanks to the people out there who are listening.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you for jumping on a cool down conversation. So Elliot, when we want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
RecruitFluency.com, Elliot@RecruitFluency.com, support@RecruitFluency.com, 323-333-9275. That's my direct number. That's how committed I am. Putting it out there, baby. It's on the airwaves.
All right. And
use your head. Use your head when you call me.
And how about socials?
Socials. Everything at Recruit Fluency, at Recruit Fluency, at Recruit Fluency.
Awesome.
And just real quick, it's becoming fluent in the recruitment process. That's what it's all about. And that's really where that name stemmed from. So.
Awesome, man. That's it. Awesome. So, yeah. Elliot, I can't thank you enough for jumping on, being an open book. I look forward to seeing the success that you continue to create and to see how many people you can help in the process, man. So kudos to you with everything that you've been through and you're doing. And congrats on the marriage coming up. I know it's a small wedding. Otherwise, I'd ask to be invited. But, no, we'll work on that relationship. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's your last marriage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully there's no two.
But anyway, we appreciate your time, brother. I'm going to go ahead and stop this. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Cool Down Conversations through testimony and interviews. Cool Down Conversations is geared to help equip this next generation for a more purposeful, heart-filled, and passionate career. So if you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more content like this, please like and subscribe to this podcast. Leaving a review really helps to get these messages out to more listeners just like you. So if you have any questions at all, please feel free to reach out at paxtonballard.com. Love y'all. Peace.